and the book of Philemon today. Only one chapter. We begin in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Notice, Paul calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul believed that God was in control of his life, that all things, good and bad, had to be filtered through Jesus before they could touch him. And since the apostle was in prison for preaching salvation through Jesus, he figured that that's exactly where Christ wanted him to be. He was a prisoner of Christ, not a prisoner of the Roman Empire. And the same is true for us. No matter what we find ourselves facing, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we are there because that is where Christ wants us to be. And if it's good, if it's bad, it is because that's what Christ wants it to be, and there's a purpose for it. Verse 2. To Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. You know that a church doesn't need a fancy building to be a church, don't you? I'm telling you, God is more concerned about the hearts of the people than he is about the building that they worship in. The early church met exclusively in houses. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything, every word in this verse is important. God the Father and we sinners can be at peace because the Lord Jesus paid for our sins and bridged the gap that they had created between us and God. And all of it is made possible because of God's grace. In other words, because he chose to be nice to us, even though we don't deserve it. Verse 4, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. I hope we remember others in our prayers. Very important. Talk to God about others. Ask him to help them. God hears us. He really does. And for some reason, he doesn't tell us why, but he has decided to work through our prayers and to move through our prayers. Verse 5. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. If our faith in Jesus is real, then we will have a love for all the saints. In other words, we're going to care about other Christians. If our faith in Jesus is real, then we will have a spiritual connection that transcends all human divisions. We will have that connection with Christians. If your faith is alive and well, then you'll have a connection with others whose faith is alive and well. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Sharing our faith enhances our walk with the Lord and our relationship with him and our understanding of him. Sharing our faith works sort of like giving. It's a connector to God, which brings our relationship with him to life. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Now, we should be a positive influence on other Christians if we know the Lord. Believers who truly are committed to Christ can become spiritually drained in this world. Christians need regular spiritual refreshment, and that comes through the Word of God, lived and shared by other Christians. We ought to be full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit so that other Christians who love the Lord leave our presence encouraged and restored as if they had spent time with Jesus himself. Verse 8, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, and he could have, and that was because he was an apostle. He was personally called and sent by Jesus. That's what gave Paul the right to order other Christians around. No pastor has the right to order any other Christian around today. Paul could have, but he didn't. There's a lot of people who can't, but think they can, and do it today. Verse 8, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. God wants Christians to do the right thing out of love for Jesus and love for his people and love for what is right. And one of the bad things about legalistic pastors and preachers who reduce Christianity to a list of man-made rules and man-made applications to what they think the Bible teaches, one of the problems with that is that it robs Christians of the joy that comes from serving Jesus out of love. Worse yet, it robs Jesus of the honor he receives when Christians serve him out of love. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you. Well, let's just stop there for a second with verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Onesimus treated Paul with the honor one should give their parents. Onesimus and Paul were like father and son in the Lord. And there are plenty of young and old and middle-aged Christians today who need to be adopted by other believers. That's the sort of thing that makes Christ happy. Verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Onesimus had been useless before when he wasn't saved. But he changed after giving his life to Christ. Personality problems fall by the wayside when one receives Christ as Lord and Savior. All the psychological counseling and all the 12-step programs pale in comparison to the job Jesus does, changing people for the better who draw close to him. It's not even close. 12, I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. In other words, Paul was sacrificing by sending Philemon back to his master. It was a personal sacrifice for him. Paul was willing to give up what was nice if he thought it would honor Christ, and it was the right thing to do. And God wants Christians to be willing to give up what would be or is nice if it would serve Jesus well. Verse 13. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. The apostle was in a miserable situation, and he was willing to lose the little good he had if it be the will of God. And that is very commendable. That's a man who has faith, isn't it? That's a man who's living by faith and is eternally minded. We Christians ought never to say, well, I'd be willing to give this up or that up if I had more of something else. Sort of balance it out. No, that's the wrong attitude. We must be willing to surrender everything, I mean absolutely everything and everyone, if it be the will of God. In fact, Jesus said, if you're not willing to do that, if that's not your heart attitude, you can't be my disciple. 14. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Christians should be enlightened. They should be informed of needs and opportunities to serve, but they should never be manipulated or pressured into getting involved. The Lord wants us to do things of our own free will, voluntarily. Verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. God brings good out of bad. He always brings our spiritual good out of bad, but sometimes he brings worldly good from a bad situation. 17. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If we care about someone, then we ought to be good to them and to those that they care about as well. Part of pleasing someone is being good to those that they care about. That's why we Christians should be good to all people. Be good, be kind to all people, because God cares about them. 18. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. In other words, if you want him to pay restitution for anything he may have done, I'll pay it, Paul says. Of course, that may be tough for Paul, since he's broke and since he's in prison. I don't think he's lying. I think he's serious. In fact, I know he's not lying. Verse 19, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. If he demands payback, Paul will find some way to make it happen. But Philemon should also remember all that the apostle has done for him in the past. This would be a real good time for Philemon to show gratitude for what he has received by not demanding his rights. And that's what Christians should do all the time. When we remember the grace and mercy that God has shown us through his Son, Jesus Christ, we're not going to be so quick to demand our rights. 20. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Even givers like Paul need to be given to sometimes. Even servants need acts and words of kindness to encourage them sometimes. Verse 21. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. He had confidence in Philemon because Philemon had a solid walk with the Lord. 22. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Prayers can do great things. Even get an apostle out of a Roman prison, which is where Paul was. That wouldn't be the first time something like that happened, recorded in Scripture. It happened earlier to Peter. 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. Paul wasn't the only one in prison for the gospel, for preaching the word of God, and for living for Jesus. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Now, Demas was a man who later abandoned the faith. But, you know, at this time, he was true to Paul and evidently true to the Lord. But later on, he's going to back off because he had a love for this world. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Next time, the book of Hebrews. Until then, so long, everyone.